Friday train whistle because it's Wednesday.
Right.
That's
makes
the
sense.
Only reason I can think of.
Yeah. I'll assume on the gone, I know what we're going to do.
Oh, yeah. I never did get back to you.
That's okay.
Not putting a full effort into it here today. I'll say Rodney Dangerfield and Bob Vaughn.
Right.
And Hoagie Carmichael.
Oh, nice.
So plan on that. He's only written some of the most popular and most recorded American songs of all time, Neil.
Oh,
we
are
definitely going to have Hoagie Carmichael in there. Wednesday, November 22nd, 326th day of the year. Can you feel 2023 just slip sliding away here?
We are so close.
Copyright Paul Simon.
Right. It's happening. It's going to be here.
It is happening.
Lickety split, true, man. It's
this date, 1927.
Make this winter the shortest season of the year with Scorpion, the proven snowmobile. Your Scorpion powerful engine and five-year proven track make light work of deep snow tough terrain. For family fun, Scorpion above all, the proven snowmobile that never lets you down.
So the first ever snowmobile patent granted on this date, 1927, to Carl Eliason. There had been snowmobiles, vehicles for the snow prior to this, but they had never been patented. And Carl Eliason, who's from Wisconsin, that's a great Wisconsin-Minnesota name, Eliason, Saner, Wisconsin is where he was from. And that's a commercial from an old Scorpion. And people, I go...
The Scorpion, I forgot about that.
Yes, that's... So people go, you go, oh, you had snowmobiles? I don't own snowmobiles now, but we had snowmobiles when we were a kid. And they go, oh, you had snowmobiles, good buddy. You had Polaris? No. Articat? No.
No.
Ski-Doo? No. Evinrude? No. Snowjet? No. And then they finally get the Scorpion.
It takes a while.
But they never get the Suzuki. People forget Suzuki made snowmobiles. We had a Suzuki and a Scorpion. And I was always proud of the Scorpion because I would tell kids, what do you have? You know, because you'd brag about what you have, you know,
right,
as far as your ATVs and your snowmobiles. And you would brag. And I go, I got a Scorpion. Oh, a Stinger? Yeah, a Stinger. It was, had the 440 in it, or the Super Stinger. But actually, it was the Stingerette. It was my mom's snowmobile. The engine was only a 290. But it was fast enough for me as a kid.
Well, yeah, at that age, yes.
It was a sparkly purple.
Very nice.
It was kind of cool. It really was. But first snowmobile patent on this date. Have you ridden a snowmobile in I'm sure you have.
Oh, many, many times, yeah.
You've never owned one, though.
No,
probably
I have not.
You haven't lived in a position where you were in a situation where you don't own a snowmobile.
I own a golf cart.
And now, what are there, like three manufacturers total?
It seems like the field has been trimmed.
It certainly has. This date in 1950, when Neil was our NBA super fan, the lowest scoring game in the NBA was played on this date. This might be enough to make a super fan throw up. To be honest, like you, the Fort Wayne Pistons defeated the Minneapolis Lakers 19-18.
Ooh.
And this was not the era where they tipped it up and tipped it off after every basket, Neil. This was regular basketball.
But there was no shot clock.
There was no shot clock. So you know the Fort Wayne Pistons, what they did. They took the air out of the ball.
Right.
They played four corners and just kept it away from George Mikan.
Yep.
And the mighty Lakers. And it worked. They won the game.
Boy, the fans must have been displeased, to say the least.
I would have been.
Right.
So that was this date in 1950. This date in 63.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Some 38 minutes ago.
You can hear the emotion in Walter Cronkite's voice here. It's just...
Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
He was clearly shaken, and I'm going to have and make the guess that it took a lot to shake Walter Cronkite. He didn't get shaken often.
No.
When it came to delivering news and things. And you're taught not to show emotion, but in that instant, right. He just couldn't control it, obviously. As sad as that was, this day in 63, JFK assassinated. As Billy Joel said it, JFK blown away.
It was eerie, standing on the X on the street where the vehicle was when he was shot. They haven't marked on the street. You kind of have to wait for traffic to clear. But I did go out and stand right on the spot, and then I looked up at the window where, presumably Lee Harvey Oswald fired the shot, and then the grassy knoll was right there. It was like 50, 60 feet from the grassy knoll, so it was very eerie and pretty cool, to be honest, for a, kind of a morbid thing, but just to be in that place where history was made. Cool.
They interrupted As the World Turns on CBS when they went in with those bulletins with Walter Cronkite. It started out as just audio-only bulletins, then eventually they got Walter from the newsroom when the news broke. 1963, and the History Channel was doing a nice documentary, and I promoted it when they were promoing it, but I forgot about it. I haven't watched it. I'm sure it's available somewhere.
I would bet.
Over the last, they started it last week, leading to today, I'm sure. That was back in 63. 1968.
I'm thinking of all the times on the Enterprise when I was scared to death. And I would see you so busy at your command.
Yeah, he was busy.
And I would hear your voice from all parts of the ship.
He was busy hitting on the female crew members, is what he was doing, because he's Captain Kirk, of course.
Right.
This was the date of the first ever TV interracial kiss.
Oh.
Kirk and Uhura.
Right.
This date, 1968. This was a big deal.
Yes, it was.
And I would say, and even though they kissed, they kind of hit it, because he kind of dips her. And you really don't see their lips meeting. So despite that whole thing, just how crazy it was, how different era it was, the censors and the quality control and the producers and whoever else still didn't want to show a full kiss. Even though Spock is over there, he's an alien with pointed ears. He's making out tonsil hockey with somebody also in that scene. But on this one here with Kirk and Uhura, he dips her and then looks up, and you can't really see their lips meeting and really kissing.
So did they? I mean,
I think they did. Well, Bill Shatner.
I know. I'm sure he didn't. Yeah. Wasn't going to pass up that opportunity.
No, Nichelle Nichols was a lovely woman.
She was, for sure.
So that was this date. It was history in the making on Star Trek 1968. How about 81?
If you're worried about how, when, and if you've cooked your bird, you can count on Butterball to help. The poultry company's Turkey Talk line is back open for the holiday season. Every November and December, more than 50 experts answer more than 100,000 turkey questions.
1-800-BUTTERBALL, Neil. Call. You don't even need it. You sound like you're an expert.
I have that down.
Sounds like you butcher your own turkey. Now, do you do that with a cleaver, or do you do that, with a
garden
22,
shears.
With a 22, yeah. How do you do that? Garden shears. It must be sharp.
Oh, very.
But the Butterball Turkey line made its debut this date back in 81. So they started with a staff of 6 answering questions. And as you heard, they're up to now over 50 worked the talk line. Has anybody ever called that? I never have.
I haven't. I feel like I could work the line, though.
Well, yes. That could be a side gig for you.
Right.
You'd be... I bet you they've gotten some prank calls, too.
I'll bet they
have. Some silly people that have been starting early.
A little bit, and then, and then making the call. I'm going to call it whatever. Butterball.
1984.
It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy...
I told you we'd have some Mr. Rogers today, and today was the day that Fred Rogers, a.k.a. Mr. Rogers, a.k.a. King Friday, a.k.a. X the Owl, Daniel Stripe a Tiger. You got any to add, Neil?
That's all I know. Yeah, that's more than I know.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and Mr. Rogers presented a sweater to the Smithsonian, one of his many sweaters. He was known for his sweaters, the zip-up sweaters, Neil.
Yeah, the cardigans. He had them all.
You wouldn't catch him in a quarter zip.
No.
No, he's a full zip sweater guy.
Right.
Through and through. But that was this date, Mr. Rogers. So wholesome, fantastic programming. And it's very fitting that a sweater would be at the Smithsonian. How about in 86? Let's go to the squared circle, the sweet science, Neil.
Let's find out. Look at these shots. All landing to the head of Trevor Burbick. It's just a matter of time before Mike gets the clean shot. Burbick hanging on like Mitch Green did. Bone crusher Smith. Straight jab by Mike Tyson. 20 years old, Mike Tyson, on his way to becoming one of the youngest heavyweight champions of all time. Bangs the body. Wow, with that uppercut is Tyson. Catches him with a light left hook.
Goodbye.
And he goes down.
See you later, Trevor Burbick. His legs are spaghetti at this point. As Mike Tyson knocked out Trevor Burbick in Las Vegas back in 86, he became the youngest. And well, the announcer said it right there, the youngest heavyweight boxing champion ever. Just 20 years old. He was a boxing machine.
Yeah, you couldn't last a round with him, most of the best boxers in the world.
Then he pretty much screwed it up.
Yep.
With his behavior, and fame went to his head.
Yep. How money, about, fame, didn't handle it.
No. 1989.
Batting third in center field, number 34, Kirby Puckett.
This day in 89, Kirby Puckett signed, and this is hard. This is just amazing. This was a record. Nobody had been paid this much per year, $3 million. Is that even the minimum? What's the minimum now?
I know.
In Major League Baseball, the veteran.
You got guys making that per game.
Yeah, the veteran minimum. But Kirby Puckett, to keep him in town, and so he wouldn't sign. And he may have given us a little hometown discount, too. Maybe he could have gone somewhere and made a little extra money. I know Ken Herbeck did that when he was being wooed earlier in the 80s. But Kirby Puckett, $3 million a year back in 89. And, of course, he wasn't the guy. He was not the guy that once he gets paid that he wasn't going to perform.
Right?
He had just won. Yeah. He won his only. Did he ever win a batting title? He did. Didn't he win one?
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, I think 89 was the year that he did that, if I'm not mistaken.
And but, he helped us win another World Series.
91, just 2 years later. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 95.
Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Establish a recon post downstairs.
Code Red, repeat. We are Code Red. Recon plan, Charlie. Execute. Move!
It's a big one.
Walt Disney Pictures presents
Star Command, come in.
Do you Toy Story. The story of two toys. They're going at it. Toy Story debuted on this date. It is released in theaters. That's R. Lee Ermey. Of course, you got your Tim Allen, your Tom Hanks, but R. Lee Ermey doing the army man there.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
He is very good at
the voices that they had. Cliff Clavin. There's so many. Don Rickles.
Yes.
There's so many great voices in there. Toy Story. It was, now what's significant about that, great movie, that was the first film ever solely created using computer, CGI, Neil.
Huh.
And it was amazing.
Pretty impressive.
It's amazing how realistic they can do it now.
Yep.
Toy Story.
It is. It's good stuff right there.
Toy Story was in the beginning of the whole thing.
Trust me, the transition from one anchor to another is not that big a deal. Cronkite begat Rather, Chancellor begat Brokaw, Reynolds begat Jennings, and each of them did a pretty fair job in his own right. You've always been very nice to me, so give this new anchor team for Nightline a fair break. If you don't, I promise you the network will just put another comedy show in this time slot, and then you'll be sorry. That's our report for tonight. I'm Ted Koppel in Washington. For all of us here at ABC News, good night.
Ted Koppel said good night for the last time on Nightline. Now, the sad part here, if you're in TV news, I'm going to assume that if they put a rerun of Friends on at that time slot, it probably would get better ratings.
Yeah, sadly.
That's the sad part of the news game right now. But he had hosted Nightline for over 25 years. I don't think he was the original host. I think Frank Reynolds hosted the first ever one, having to do with the Iran hostages.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Around 1980 or whatever.
Birthdays now today. He's got to be the only Monty Python, member of the Monty Python comedy troupe, the Flying Circus, that was born in Minneapolis. Terry Gilliam.
Oh, yeah.
Actor, director, writer. He does more writing and directing. He does animation and did animation for the Flying Circus, Terry Gilliam, 83 today, and he was born in Minneapolis. Billie Jean King.
Well, I'm not playing in one tennis tournament. I'm traveling to another. So, I don't have time to fuss with my hair. But with Sunbeam's Mystic Curler Styler, I can curl my hair anywhere without curlers.
The Sunbeam Mystic Hair Curler, Neil. Did you ever own one, or do you still have one?
Well, it wouldn't get much use at this point. Very little hair to curl.
We're getting
I never did own one.
We're getting hair styling tips from Billie Jean King today here on the Bob Almanac. The great Billie Jean King, tennis Hall of Famer, multi-champion. She beat Bobby Riggs pretty handily.
Yes.
He was well past his prime.
In the battle of the sexes,
yes.
Yeah.
Billie Jean King is 80. Little Stevie, Steven Van Zandt, 73. Singing there with the boss. Always got the bandana on.
He's ready.
He is 73 for Steven Van Zandt, guitarist. He's been around for a while. Richard Kind, actor. He's been in a lot of shows, Spin City. Loved him on Curb Your Enthusiasm, too.
Why should I even listen to you? The last time I was here, you tried to torture me to prove a point, Dr.
Cox.
Mengele! Oh. Now, if you will excuse me, I've already talked to the insurance company, so there is nothing you can say that can stop me from doing this.
Now, Mr. Corman, apparently your insurance company's not going to cover it.
Good day to you, sir.
There he is on Scrubs, little cameo, Richard Kind, 67. Jamie Lee Curtis, she comes from Hollywood royalty.
Let me see now, you would be from Austria, am I right?
No, I am Inga from Sweden.
Sweden? But you're wearing lederhosen.
Yeah, for sure, from Sweden.
Do you want to help her with her knupsack, Neil? Huh?
Well, I would.
How dumb is Beaks?
I
mean, all this
sharp.
Is going on. You got Eddie Murphy coming in, Dan Aykroyd. You've got the priest. And then you got Inga coming in. I mean, he should have gotten out of there.
Yeah, he should have.
He had to think something was up.
But, criminals are dumb.
Jamie Lee Curtis is 65. Yeah.
You know, you should come by Stark Tower sometime. Top 10 floors, all R&D. You'd love it. It's Candyland.
Thanks, but the last time I was in New York, I kind of broke Harlem.
Well, I promise a stress-free environment, no tension, no surprises.
Ow!
Hey!
His eyes weren't turning green. He's Bruce Banner.
Oh, yes.
Mark Ruffalo, Bruce Banner in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Very good job.
Yeah.
He did great. I love that.
He did, yeah. Mark Ruffalo, 56. Joe Nathan, former Twins pitcher and closer.
Yeah.
He was an all-star a few times. We got him from the Giants.
He was lights out for a while there.
Yes, he was. And he's almost 50. He's 49 today. Oh, speaking of Marvel, we've got another one.
Just like Budapest all over again.
You and I remember Budapest very differently.
She's good friends with Hawkman, the Hawk.
Yep.
With Clint. And then
she had a little thing with Mark Ruffalo.
Well, yes, her, yeah. yes. They yeah. had green as her color, apparently.
Right. Yeah. She could soothe the beast there.
Exactly. And, of course, had to make a very hard decision when it came to getting the Soul Stone.
For sure.
So that's Scarlett Johansson, 39 today for the Black Widow.
All right. Gone but not forgotten today. We're going to start with French President Charles de Gaulle. He was their key, you know, figure during World War II, right? Kind of battled the Nazis, you know, trying to keep them out. And I want to the occupation of France. He fought it and did a nice job. Chuck de Gaulle, 1890. And now... he'll always be a big part of the Laramie cast in the late 50s, early 60s with Robert Fuller and John Smith from Laramie. But Hoagy Carmichael may be better known, as you mentioned, a band leader and songwriter.
J.
Georgia, Georgia.
Yeah, you wrote Stardust and this one.
Yeah.
The whole day through.
Two of the most recorded American songs in the history of American songs.
Keeps yeah. Georgia on my mind.
And you got to love guys named after sandwiches.
For sure. I mean, who wouldn't enjoy a good hoagie right about now?
I have a friend.
Hoagie Carmichael.
I have a friend. His first name is Shrimp Po' Boy.
Not enough of those. 1899, and there's only one, Rodney Dangerfield.
Hey, wait a minute. This is for you, all right? Oh, Captain Hook. Now, how about the grand you owe me, huh? Nah, forget about it. I'm just kidding, all right? Oh, this your wife? Oh, a lovely lady. Hey, baby, you're all right. You must have been something before electricity, huh? Okay. Hey, Dal, how are you? Huh? You live alone? Hey, Rabbi, nice seeing you. Okay, you're all right. Folks, how are you, huh? And this your grandson, huh? Oh, wonderful boy. Nice boy, right? He's a good boy, I'll tell you. Now I know why tigers eat their young, you know?
Him versus Ted Knight in Caddyshack.
that stroll through the party there.
Hey, Judge, where's your hat?
His pleasantries, yeah. Oh, it's so good. I bet you were something before electricity. Rodney Dangerfield, he had him, and he was tremendous. 1921. Oh, it's too good. All right, and he was and always will be Napoleon Solo to me. I, of course, also was a member of the original Magnificent Seven. We're talking about actor Robert Vaughn.
My name is Napoleon Solo. I'm enforcement agent in Section 2 here. That's operations and enforcement.
I am Ilya Kuryakin. I am also an enforcement agent. Like my friend Napoleon, I go and I do whatever I am told to by our chief.
They were a great team.
They were. Napoleon Solo, Ilya Kuryakin, the man from Uncle, great TV series from the late 60s. Robert Vaughn as an Emmy Award-winning actor, born on this day, 1932. They're all gone. But not forgotten.
How could your staff forget the greatest chief of police ever?
If I catch either one of you doing anything except traffic duty, I'm going to have the both be investigated and suspended.
Well, sir, technically this is traffic duty.
Technically, you're a damn idiot. Get out of here, Taggart!
Chief Lutz. Was there any more satisfying part in cinematic history, any other satisfying scene in the history of cinema when he got fired at the end of Beverly Hills Cop 2?
It was so overdue.
By the
and
mayor.
So well enjoyed by all.
Oh,
what was his real name?
Alan Garfield.
Okay.
Chief Lutz. What a perfect name for a chief, too.
Yeah. Putz, yeah, it should have been. But.
1939. Now.
They're all gone. But not forgotten.
All right. From the entire Bob Almanac staff to everybody, have a very happy Thanksgiving. Neil, you're going to stick around for a Bobathon, no repeat workday kickoff, the whole thing. I've got the All Request Lunch Hour, noon to 1. Would you like to start it out with Streets of Bakersfield, Dwight and Buck, Toby Keith and his Whiskey Girl, or Eddie Rabbit? Back in 77, $2 in the jukebox would probably fill you up for about 3 hours, right?
Right. I'm feeling like Toby Keith today.
WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDBG.